This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the Dumb Weebs Podcast. I'm your host, V-Lord GTZ, and with me I have my usual co-hosts, Laser Kid and Meowth900 Allison.
We're doing an episode.
Huh?
Wait, what else? Whoa, you just got a clip there.
That was like a lot.
I said we're still alive doing new episodes, guys.
Holy crap, what happened?
Somehow. Who would have guessed that we are still doing things and we're still alive? It's almost like we're real people.
I thought we died, you know, to the 2020 virus.
Feelor, there's a person here. Who is that?
Yeah, we have a guest with us today.
Who is it?
And I don't know. I think it's Jordan from the Shonen Flop podcast. Welcome.
Wow, that's me. Hi, what's up? I'm Jordan. I'm from the Shonen Flop podcast, as you just heard. I guested on a podcast with Meowth at one time, and we seemed to get along, so I was like, hey, I'll be on your podcast. What's up? I will warn you, though. I am a fake weeb.
God, fake weebs? The worst kind of weebs? How dare we bring this abomination into our podcast.
Hey guys, you want to get real mad? I skipped JoJo parts.
Okay, that's an actual crime. But which parts do you skip?
Well, to be fair, I did go back and read them and go through them. Oh, I am in the middle of part 8, but like I've read every part after that. But this was my initial order: 1, 2, 6. And then, I think I actually then just watched the anime because the anime was out, and then I went in the anime's order. So I have gotten all of the parts of JoJo. Then I read Steel Ball Run, and now I'm in the middle of JoJolian because, wow, it's about to end. That's crazy.
Yeah, dang.
So, Jordan, why don't you explain to the listeners about what Shonen Flop is all about?
Yeah, sure. Shonen Flop is a podcast where me and my childhood friend David, we each episode look at a series in Shonen Jump that got canceled before getting popular, usually before getting past the 25 chapter mark or something, and we read it to see if that series was good or not. Like, maybe that series deserved to get canceled, maybe that series should have kept going. Usually they deserve to be canceled, but you know, it's still cool, because sometimes they don't.
And with how many series get canceled in like Shonen Jump, there's a lot of options there.
So many. Oh, it's great. We're going to be going for a while.
I'm still sad about Our Blood Oath. I really love that one.
I liked it too. I did. I thought it was interesting. I thought they were doing something kind of interesting with... I still don't really know how to phrase this. There was a little bit more depth to the morality that they were pushing that was kind of interesting.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't just, you had some level of sympathy for the vampires that I don't think most, anime or manga really approach, you know?
Yeah. No, there was definitely some depth there on, hey, they have reasons to be doing the things that they're doing. It's not good that they're doing it. They're not just, I'm evil!
Yeah, exactly. I also thought the author was good at visual storytelling. There were a few chapters that were almost totally wordless, which you never see in manga. And I thought that they were really interesting to see. I thought they were done pretty well. I thought it just had a lot more potential than it got, you know?
Great.
So, are we talking about a flop here or what? So
I think that was just kind of a mini episode. Well, I think that was a mini episode there.
Oh.
Which one? The one, Our Blood Oath?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a flop. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I got convinced through, they convinced me throughout the episode that, yeah, there were enough flaws where this had to be a flop. But like, honestly, I still love it. I don't care.
Chainsaw Man is what we're doing today, right?
Chainsaw Man is not a flop. Jesus Christ. Yeah. No, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, yes. Today we are talking about Tatsuki Fujimoto's Chainsaw Man, which, yeah, is definitely not a flop. It's very popular. It's getting an anime soon, too. So far from the definition of a flop.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
It's really good. It's really fucking good.
It's like Jujutsu Kaisen as if it was written by Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
I think you broke
up. I like that. Wow.
Yeah, that's a apt analogy there, Laser. And before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty with Chainsaw Man, I wanted to go around and have each of us talk about how we got into the series. So, Jordan, do you want to go first?
Yeah, so when I was getting back into manga, I asked my co-host, David, hey, what's, like, the best manga that's out that, like, I should read? And he was immediately just like, Chainsaw Man. So then I read Chainsaw Man, and it was like, oh shit, you're right. This kicks ass. This is amazing. And now half our podcast winds up just being us talking about Chainsaw Man. It's weird. We didn't even try and do it. It just happens.
Yeah, Shonen Flop is just like an underground Chainsaw Man podcast. You come for a canceled manga, and it's just like going to be talking about Makima halfway through.
You joke. But yeah, that is the Shonen Flop experience.
That's just great.
I mean, how can you not? How can you not talk about Chainsaw Man? I don't get it. It's just so good.
See, there are two types of people. People who talk about Chainsaw Man and people who don't know what Chainsaw Man is yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Allison, how did you get into Chainsaw Man?
Well, I think it was starting up in the Shonen Jump's Jumpstart programs back when they did those thingies. And now they're publishing everything, which is good, but also bad because heartbreak all the time. But anyways, Chainsaw Man came out. I thought, oh shit, this is by the guy that did Fire Punch. Fire Punch was a fucking ride.
Fire Punch is so edgy. Sorry, just go ahead. Keep going.
Fire Punch is great and also edgy as fuck.
Yeah.
But yes. So, Chainsaw Man came out. I was like, oh, look at the doggy. He's so cute. And of course, then I cried because the doggy ended up dying. But, like, you know, that's why they have the doggies and the edgy things, I guess. I also thought Denji was kind of cute. I like them boys. Power is cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, you can't have too much power.
Power is best, girl. Fight me.
Oh my god! I thought you were talking about actually power. I'm so, how am I a fake Chainsaw Man fan like this? Power is the best character possibly ever written. I love Power so much.
Yeah, I mean, she brings, like, just so much, like, energy to the series. And, like, I love how unpredictable and just, like, zany she is. It's just perfect.
The artwork in this manga is really good. And, like, I'm still shocked at how violent it is. And also being in modern Shonen Jump. Because this looks like something that would be, like, more common in, like, what era was Fist of the North Star and JoJo again, V-Lord?
The 80s?
Yeah. Like, this feels like an 80s jump. More than a 2010s jump, if that makes any sense.
I think I get what you mean, yeah. But it's also kind of interesting. I feel like because the 90s anime was in general way darker, I remember. Like 80s anime too, but of course it was harder to make anime in the 80s. But there was like this darkness to it that I kind of miss. I mean, and I think Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen are kind of like acknowledgments that, oh, we actually kind of liked that aspect of manga, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously, there is a lot of terrible over-edgy anime. Like, that's
very not always easily. Good. Anime in the 90s was definitely marketed towards that, too, so, oh boy.
Yeah, I'm definitely not trying to say that anime in the 90s was always just better than anime now. That's ridiculous, but...
Edgy anime is the only anime!
Yeah, it's the only one that's cool!
And now I'm reminded of the Anime Network's Anime Baby advertisement.
Oh, God.
I think Chainsaw Man came out in English Jump and stayed in Jump before they remembered Jujutsu Kaisen existed, because that was before the Vault era when it came out.
So Chainsaw Man serialization round was the round that the Vault actually started in.
So I think
either chapter 2 or chapter 3 is the week that the Vault started. So like there was they had a good like situation where like they didn't have to take a break and then like see if it was successful to keep running everything. Because, like, at that point, they were just, like, running every series at that point.
I still think Chainsaw Man probably could have stayed, because Americans like the violence and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think if the Vault wasn't a thing, they probably would have still kept it, because at the time, Viz was already, like, publishing Fire Punch already, because Fire Punch had done really well in Japan. So, like, I feel like they probably would have just kept it because, like, it was very obvious it was going to be a success.
Yeah, Americans like the violence, and, like, there wasn't a lot of titties with bare nipples everywhere, so they didn't have to deal with Apple, too.
At least not yet.
Unfortunately.
There's lots of hinting and poking at it, though.
There's a lot of over the shirt touching of breasts in Chainsaw Man.
My favorite color spread is the orgy color spread.
Oh yeah, that one rules. The one that King Shonen Jump keep that from getting printed in like the official American release or something, at least initially.
So like you can only read it on the website. Like it's like rated as a mature chapter.
God, that rules.
Like, can't read it on the apps. I think it's still going to be in the print volumes.
The app is like, oh, hey, you can read stuff like Tokyo Ghoul in here, but you can't read Golden Kamuy. That's for grown-ups.
Oh, Golden Kamuy is so good. I'm also early in that.
From what I've heard, the big reason why, like, mature titles are locked out of the app is because, like, for the Apple App Store to actually allow them to keep a lower rating, they'd have to get like very intricate parental controls in the app, and they just haven't built those. So that's why like all the mature titles like Golden Kamuy and like Platinum End and all that stuff are just like web only.
Okay, but why can't I read Hunter x Hunter on the app?
Because we can't have nice things.
Yeah, what the fuck? go fuck yourself, Viz. Are you serious?
I ended up having to buy those physically just so I could read them.
Me with iShield 21, to be honest.
I feel like there's definitely some, like, weird licensing barrier for them, because otherwise they would probably definitely do it. I think, like, it's just that, like, this type of service is not really as common of a thing in Japan, so probably negotiating a deal to have, like, a entire series on a subscription service is probably a bit difficult for them to manage. And they have to probably do it by, like, a series-by-series basis.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's they're also competing against the, let's face it, the very easily accessible free ways to read these series, you know?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the bright side, not to get too much into Scanlation stuff, I think for a lot of the newer series that have come out of Jump, like, there aren't really Scanlations for them anymore. Like, scan groups outside of, like, outside of like the big titles like MHA and stuff, a lot of Scanlation groups have moved away from Jump, which is for the best because it's a waste of time to Scanlate Jump.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's all there. Just go support it.
Yeah, I think a lot of them now just do the more niche shit like Sunday and what's the other one? Champion? That one? Like all,
yeah.
Like all the niche shit. Magazine's technically not niche because it's like Silver Shonen Jump in terms of Western recognized properties.
I mean, Kodansha has their own English division in the US that picks up anything like remotely successful. So like, that's not usually much of a concern. But before we get in too deep of a tangent here, let me talk about how I got into Chainsaw Man.
Yeah.
So like Allison, I was familiar with Fire Punch before Chainsaw Man came out. I actually read bits and pieces of Fire Punch while it was running in Jump Plus. So when Chainsaw Man was like revealed to be like in the serialization round for Shonen Jump, I was like, oh dang, this is gonna be hype. It's gonna be crazy. Tons of blood. And yeah, that's basically what I got out of Chainsaw Man. It was just a ton of gory fun, and like I was hooked right from the start. It gave me like very similar vibes to say like Devilman. Obviously the messaging is a bit different because Devilman's a bit more like cynical in how it views humanity, but
oh, yeah.
Chainsaw Man is still kind of giving off similar vibes to that, and I really enjoy that about that, and I really like the direction of how like it somehow finds a way to keep escalating with like every single story arc, and like really every story arc feels like it could have been expanded into its own series just with how intricate and wild it gets. So it's just a ton of fun.
It's so good. No, I get the sense that I haven't read like too much of Fire Punch, but I get the sense that like Fujimoto identified the problem with that series being that the main character was just like too fucking dark, you know, just like he was so angry, and the series itself is so dark that like there's almost no like levity, it feels like a lot of the time. Even like there obviously are jokes in Fire Punch, but like, so I think he corrected that by just making the main character of Chainsaw Man the biggest goofy like doofus ever.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, like this, the dude who's just like always happy and excited even when absolutely horrible things are happening. It's great. Yeah, it's it worked.
Yeah, I agree, because like I enjoyed like Fire Punch for what it is, but like I wasn't attached to any of the characters because they're either very bland or just overly edgy.
Yeah.
But in Chainsaw Man, there's that kind of sense of like humanity to them. Like Denji, he's not exactly the best guy, but you at least kind of like sympathize for him, and like he's like entertaining to read about and like see like all the crazy things he does. So I think like the characters are really kind of the core of what makes Chainsaw Man more than just like a popcorn read.
And he grows a lot too. I mean, in some way the like Chainsaw Man seems like it is about the transition from childhood to adulthood, or at least like you're getting over your first relationship, it winds up being.
If your first relationship was with a mass murderer.
Well, yes, his first relationship was just like really bad. Who, like, she just manipulated him a lot, and it really messed up his life. That is essentially just what Chainsaw Man's about. At least Denji's arc, anyway, you know?
Yeah, totally. Oh yeah, Laser, how did you get into Chainsaw Man? I'm very curious.
Legitimately, you and Meowth and Alien talking about it in our Discord section, just talking about it, looking at it, going, what? This crazy shit, I don't understand. And you're like, we're gonna do a podcast on it, you should read it. I'm like, okay. And so I read it last night.
Oh, last night, damn.
Yeah, I'm still a noob, really. I've heard of it for forever, but I didn't read it till last night.
How'd you like it?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. My description earlier was, I think I put that up when I was pretty early on in, just like, yeah, this is Jujutsu Kaisen as written by South Park.
Great.
I really enjoyed, honestly, it surprised me when it hit the feels. And it also surprised me in that You always talk about, like, people always talk about shows like, say, Attack on Titan, be like, there's no plot armor, except for all the main characters are alive, except for, like, one.
Yeah.
Nobody's got plot armor in this series, holy shit! Except for Denji. Except for Denji, he's got plot armor. But everybody else! Oh, boy!
Oh, yeah. This, the deaths, the death count
that
is insane.
That legitimately shocked me. I mean, the first round, I was like, all right, you know, they're setting it, and then they just keep doing it.
Yeah, like, the status quo keeps changing in Chainsaw Man just because everybody who you think is a part of the status quo just keeps getting killed.
Yep.
It is, like, amazing. But, no, that is an interesting thing to point out, like, how it hits you in the feels. Like, one of the things about Chainsaw Man that I think a lot of people don't identify is that so much of Chainsaw Man is just, like, the main characters hanging out and talking about, like, their emotions and what they're feeling and stuff like that. And I think that really elevates the series, you know, because you get a very good sense of who these people are, you know, and then the cool action starts. But, like, first you got to have a thing, have, like, a little scene where Denji kisses a cute girl and she vomits in his mouth.
Oh, man, I remember the week that chapter came out. Oh, that was
gross.
That was wild. And they used it for all, like, the promotional trailers in Japan, too. It's like, you want to see a girl vomit in your main character's mouth? Go read this series, guys.
I mean, that's a fairly good advertisement for the series, honestly.
Actually, that does kind of sum up Chainsaw Man's sense of humor.
Yeah,
it kind of does. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people do talk about, like, the very over-the-top action scenes in Chainsaw Man, but I think, Jordan, you brought up a good point that, like, yeah, between all that, there are these very, like, kind of good character moments, and I think that is the glue that kind of keeps Chainsaw Man together. Like, it'd be one thing if it was just all action all the time, but there's enough breathing room in between that where, like, you're not overwhelmed by everything. And then even during the action, like, there's just a heavy focus just on the actual battle itself. There's not a ton of dialogue, like, overfilling, like, the page.
Yeah.
It feels like there's just a lot of breathing room for you to just, like, look at the page, read what's on it, and just, like, take it all in.
Yeah.
That's dialogue exchange. Hey, will you stab my cat? No, I don't like cats. I'll let you touch my boobs. All right, who dares kidnap this cat? How dare you? I'm going to kill him and kill you and save that cat. Let's do this.
We don't hurt Meowie in this house.
Are you team Meowie or team Nyako? Team Nyako.
Because
I got to go Meowie just because that sounds, like, wild. Such a crazy way to translate
team
that, I guess.
Meowie.
Yeah, I like Meowie.
I like Nyako more, but, like, dub-wise, Meowie makes more sense because it sounds like a name English people would recognize more.
From you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, translating Nyako as Meowie, I think makes sense to me because, like, I don't know, I feel like the Nya is literally the meow. So, like, if you were, like, thinking of it from an English perspective, someone would be having the name be Meow.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it from a translation perspective. I just think it sounds funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Just imagine naming your cat Meowie, you know?
Yeah.
Space Dandy has a character named Meow, so, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Who does?
Space Dandy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Space Dandy.
Oh, if you like... Well, obviously you do like Chainsaw Man. Space Dandy's right up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's by the director of Cowboy Bebop.
Ooh, okay. I vaguely remember there hearing about some kind of Bebop connection there. Yeah. Cowboy Bebop's really... I went back and watched some of it a little while ago. It holds up. But yeah, Chainsaw Man. No, but like some of my favorite moments in Chainsaw Man are just when fucking Denji, Power, and Aki are hanging out in their house and just annoying each other.
They're a happy, chaotic family.
Yeah.
Why did you break the car? I didn't break the car.
Oh, the one where, like, it's like her and Kobeni in the car. I love that. And then I love when, like, one of the popularity polls, Kobeni's car gets a vote.
So good. It's like, that is a legendary moment in Chainsaw Man.
God, I mean... Speaking of Kobeni, she really gets the short end of the stick, like, throughout the entire series.
Can I just say, like, I fucking love Kobeni. Like, she is one of my favorite characters. She just winds up becoming, like, so weirdly, like, relatable towards the end. Like, you just feel so bad for her. She's trying her best, and it's like, all this shit is happening. And then, like, she goes on a really awkward date with Denji. Really, really awkward.
Is it even Denji at that point, though?
Arguable.
I mean, I'm not saying it isn't, but is it?
I think Denji was located in that area. Like, physically.
He was somewhere in that, like, field, like, of chainsaws. Something.
It was sort of Denji. You might say it was a demi-Denji.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's not Denji.
Denji substitute, yeah. I do ship Kobeni and Denji now, actually.
I mean, they're really the only two, like, mainstays alive by the end.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's also just like, man, that's that second to last chapter where they're just talking. It just really fucking gets me. Where he describes, like, all the things he does that stresses him out, and she's just like, isn't that just, like, normal, though? And Denji's just like, holy shit.
Yeah, like, Denji is a protagonist, too. Like, he's a very interesting choice for a Shonen Jump manga, of all things, where, like, your main, like, your main elements are usually friendship, effort, and victory. But Denji's perception of those things is, like, very warped because of, like, how messed up his childhood is. Like, for him, like, a good life, like, a dream life for him is what a normal person would just have on a daily basis.
I believe Bomb pretty much told him that straight up.
Yeah. I also think, but I also think that's so interesting and also kind of a very like politically relevant thing to do, because I think that a lot of people are currently living life. I mean, where it's just like, man, if I could just get these basic things that, like, other people just don't think are that strange at all, like, then I'll be fine. You know, like, man, if I could just get, like, an apartment, I'll be living well.
Relatable.
Yeah, no, exactly, it is. And I think that is one of Chainsaw Man's biggest strengths, one of Denji's biggest strengths.
One of the things that really surprised me about Chainsaw Man was the big twist. Oh yeah, this big bad? Yeah, nah, it's already dead. It's already dead. By the way, now, no surprise that Makima was a bad guy. That was pretty obvious from panel one. It's like, yeah. Hey, look, she's just using this guy. Yeah.
But Laser, she's hot. She can't be a bad guy.
No, her being hot means she almost had to be a bad guy. It's manga.
I don't know. She is kind of too thick to be evil. I don't know.
No, I mean, again, that leads more. It's manga. The sexier they are, the more evil they are. Besides, outside of, like, a few people, almost all of the women in this manga are just, like, crazy as shit.
That's the best part, well, though.
Yeah.
It's I mean, literally... that's not a complaint. That's not a complaint. It's just an observation.
Well, but it's kind of like, so are the men, you know? It's not like there are that many sane people in Chainsaw Man.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point.
Yeah, you know, like, I feel like if you sit, when you say, like, oh, I find this character in Chainsaw Man hot, it's pretty clear. I think it should be at least assumed that it's like, you're not saying I would date them in real life, because Jesus Christ, no, absolutely not.
No.
But Makima would be the safest choice in real life.
What?
Oh my!
No, God. I disagree. No. I disagree with that statement.
see, we just need to get Makima on the next waifu episode of the Toonami Faithful podcast to break CJ again.
Yeah, probably.
Is that a podcast where you argue about waifus?
It's a Toonami podcast, but we had a waifu episode and a Husbando episode, and I think we broke CJ both times.
Yeah, on the Husbando episode, I chose Jelly Jiggler from Bobobo is one of my Husbandos.
Powerful choice.
That was, yes. Yes. Yeah, well, I mean,
a beautiful mid-30s man made of 46 packets of jelly.
Can you feel the jelly tonight?
Can you feel the jelly?
God, I should rewatch Bobobo. I wonder what it's like. So would be like to now?
It's in print. God bless Discotech.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. The Discotech release is so good.
I know. I'm so happy because it's like the third iteration of Bobobo I bought now. I got that.
I still have that s'more set. S'more set was so bad.
Well, actually, I don't because I gave those two to J-Mac just to get rid of them.
Why did you make him suffer?
Because he had no other way to watch Bobobo, and I needed to get rid of these discs because I had no point to them.
Okay, that's fair. And at least, like, if he's watching the dub, he won't have the worst time.
Nah, I mean, that's probably all he's gonna... I mean, typically we just watch at my place anyway.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Chainsaw Man, I think, like, it's interesting to see, like, newer series come out after Chainsaw Man, where, like, I definitely feel like a lot more series now are going with more humbler goals. And I'm not saying necessarily Chainsaw Man started that precedence, but I think, like Jordan was saying, like, it's a much more relatable goal for the present day, where, like, even having, like, a normal standard of living for some people might just be dreamlike just because of how hard it is for some people.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I can absolutely relate to Denji's feelings in there. Like, the idea where it's like all this horrible shit is happening to him, but man, at the end of the day, he lives in a place with a floor.
Man, living in a place with a floor is nice.
Like, he's willing to put up with kind of anything just because of how unbelievably horrible the early part of his life was.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I was rooting for him. One of my favorite things about Denji was the character actually started to learn and grow towards the end. I mean, like, you know, I've just been letting other people make decisions for me. What the hell? I need to not do that. And I'm like, damn, we had a legitimate character growth arc here. That's nice. And before that, he goes, I don't want to make decisions anymore. You do it for me. Yeah. And that does not go well for him.
It really is kind of a story about, like, learning about relationships in a lot of way from somebody who hasn't ever kind of had them before. It's very interesting. But you're totally right. I mean, the last chapter broke me just, if for no other reason than just because of how sad Denji was. And before that section of the series, you never see Denji, like, sad.
In fact, it makes a point about how he has difficulty being sad. It's actually hard for him. Like, he at most is like, yeah, maybe a couple days. Yeah. I'll be all right.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. But, like, Makima just hit him so hard that, like, he just can't cope with that, you know? It was like a really horrible relationship that, and he nonetheless still loves them, and now he has to raise their child.
I wouldn't say that's their child exactly. More reincarnation, really. Yeah,
I'm speaking in metaphor, you know, like,
yeah. So, yeah, we got some Dragon Ball Z shit here. Goku taking on Oob.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even before that, he literally had to eat her.
Yeah, he vored Makima.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I love how the final color spread of Chainsaw Man is Denji just eating, like, Makima in different ways.
God, I about died laughing.
Yeah, I was, like, blown away when I realized what was happening in that chapter. It was just like, this is the best manga ever. Fuck.
You are totally right when you make the call that it does feel like something from the 90s. It's got that edge to where it's just like, we're just gonna have fun with this shit and go balls deep on it, whatever.
The art is also, like, more detailed in a way that a lot of 90s anime and manga were.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
And, yeah, like, the blood and gore, absolutely more 90s than 2000s and 2010s, I can tell you that. It's, I feel like in the 2000s, a lot of anime studios were like, we can make, like, toys out of this, and we can, like, sell to American kids. And I feel like the thing about Chainsaw Man is that even though it appeals to a lot of Americans, it doesn't feel like this is something that you would see on like Saturday morning cartoons. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It kind of has
I'm saying it's edgy. I'm saying I like edginess. I'm a fucking edgelord. I guess that's my point. But yeah.
No parents.
It has been interesting to see how well received Chainsaw Man has been in the US. Like, even without an anime so far, like, it's one of the best selling comics right now in the US, like, for the past year. And I think part of it might just be the fact that, like, I think the some of the sensibilities in Chainsaw Man, I guess, like, in terms of how it depicts violence and action, all that, does kind of feel like something out of an American comic. But the storytelling is still very much what you'd see in, like, a typical manga of its tone. So I it has this, like, nice kind of, like, best of both worlds type thing.
I can see that. As a guy who grew up reading comic books, it also feels like a 90s comic book more so than a modern one.
Oh, absolutely.
modern comics make more me like sad.
It was cool. You know, colors were better before people learned how to use Photoshop. I'm sorry. Just like at the very least, like and it's not that you can't do great colors with Photoshop, it's just way easier to do bad colors in Photoshop is my issue.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, digital art is like another skill in of itself compared to, like, I'd say even like traditional, like, pencil and paper art.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is a very different thing. In one, you have a physical object that represents the drawing that you actually made. It comes right from, like, your hand and stuff. But, like, the other thing, digital art, there isn't really a physical version of it. And it's, you're only ever going to see it as, like, a form of light. Yeah, I went to art school. Why? It is a different medium, especially when you're reading comics. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that makes sense.
Shonen Flop, the podcast about Chainsaw Man. Chainsaw Man episode, the podcast about everything else.
No, it is all tangentially related to Chainsaw Man. No.
The Chainsaw Man podcast universe.
Yeah. The Chainsaw Man extended universe. What's in the Chainsaw Man extended universe?
I guess it would just be like a bunch of different drawings of Denji eating Makima. I don't know.
Well, that's just DeviantArt.
Oh, God.
Meowth, you've been cutting out. What were you saying?
Maybe she tastes good, and that's why he wants to eat her.
I have a feeling that's not the case.
Sure that's very much not the case. I mean, there's a point made. The nastier person, like, these bad guys are, the less tasty they were for the fox thing, so...
Well, I thought that the fox thing just didn't like eating demons.
Well... Yeah.
I don't know.
And yet it's, like, used to do that. That's, like, it's making contracts with humans to do just that. So it's got to be, like, some demons taste better than others or something.
Yeah, no, you're probably right.
Different various skin meat flavors and juices. It works, you know?
Everyone has their own unique flavor on the devil rainbow of culinary cuisine.
When is Chainsaw Man crossing with Food Wars? We need to make this happen.
Soma will cook Makima 50 different ways.
I would eat that from Soma too.
But on the topic of artwork, one thing I really like about Chainsaw Man that we haven't mentioned yet is the sound effects. Oh boy, I really love how, like, well Fujimoto implements, like, sound effects, like, directly into his artwork. Like, it reminds me a lot of, I'd say probably JoJo, and just how, like, it feels very much just a part of, like, the backgrounds and just the larger panel, where, like, it doesn't necessarily feel like something you can ignore.
Yeah.
No, that's very in-your-face, explosive sound effects that become a part of it in and of themselves. It was very nice, you're right.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I also have to really commend the letterer for Chainsaw Man, Sabrina Heap, because, like, she did a wonderful job for the volume releases of actually redrawing all the sound effects. Because, like, honestly, before Chainsaw Man came out in volumes, I was kind of concerned that it would turn out kind of janky, just because of, like, how heavily implemented it is into each panel. But she really managed to capture, like, Fujimoto's original sound effects and, like, converting them to English. And, like, he even got commended by, like, editors in Japan and, like, the Chainsaw Man, like, Japanese Twitter.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, it's really cool that it got, like, that much attention. Like, I usually don't see English localizations getting, like, the attention of, like, Japan that much, which is really cool.
Yeah, is this in the Shonen Jump release, or is it, I mean, on the app release, I mean? Or is it just in, like, in the physical volume?
I think Viz doesn't have the volume version on the vault right now, so I think it's only in the digital and physical volumes.
Okay. Yeah, I also, I'm going through it right now, and something that, like, I hadn't noticed as much before in Chainsaw Man is that there are a lot more different font styles than you usually see in manga. Like, when Denji says something that's, like, ridiculous or, like, over the top, his font changes to kind of reflect that. And, yeah, it's just kind of a really interesting attention to detail.
Yeah, it's a really nice touch. Like, one of my pet peeves is when, like, a manga just sticks to, like, one font, regardless of, like, the scene. But, like, Chainsaw Man does definitely a really good job of, like, switching up the font styles depending on the situation. Which is honestly what you should do, because, like, that's how, like, even in the Japanese release, a lot of these fonts are done. Like, it's not like there's just, like, one single, like, Comic Sans font that you're just pasting everywhere.
Oh my god.
Ugh, yeah, it's not even fucking... Why does Comic Sans exist? That's not even the fucking font that's used in comics.
I don't even know anymore.
What is life?
Why?
We need to find the guy who created Comic Sans.
Ugh, what a...
Just ask him, why? Why did you create this monster?
History's greatest Why? Monster right there.
Yeah, right there next to the devil.
Which devil?
Oh shit, right, there's a lot of devils.
There's a lot of devils in Chainsaw Man.
We'll go with the gun devil, and then we'll recreate that chapter where they just list off all the dead bodies.
That was so good. God. What I noticed... Oh.
That was rough, man. Actually, that hit me.
That was amazing. Yeah, what was so amazing is, like, I went back and read that, and it looks as if the words are actually, like, the gun devil itself just, like moving across the page. Like, people start saying, the gun devil's getting close as the actual text of the name starts to, like, approach them. It's really interesting, and it's subtle.
Yeah, it's so good. And I love how Fujimoto, inside the list of names, just put in random real people and characters from other series.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, like, he put in, like, Amano Megumi from Amano Megumi in Shonen Sunday. Which was so random.
I love Fujimoto. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he seems like the type of person that just genuinely loves comics, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, because he's good at it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I love the gun devil. I love how they show what the gun devil does to people who are afflicted with the gun devil or possessed by it. Where, like, Aki just thinks that he's a kid again playing snowball, like, throwing snowballs at Denji.
Oh,
but
God,
he's
that killed me.
Cheating.
That actually,
is so painful.
That hurts. That hurt a lot.
I know. Just, like, so crazy. Like, that part is so good. When they show, he gets hit by a snowball, and it's like, and you know, Aki just thinks, oh, I got hit by a snowball. Why are things, like, getting even colder? Why are things, like, getting dark or whatever, and it's because Denji just killed him. Like, just brutal. Just absolutely brutal. Fujimoto has, like, just takes no fucking mercy.
Yeah, god. That set of chapters were just so sad.
Yeah. I did like the twist of the future dopamine, like, you're gonna die in the most horrible way. Dot, 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 for Denji.
He was right.
Yeah.
Horrible way for Denji. Not even, it wasn't even that bad for him, but for Denji, it was the worst.
Yeah, that actually, that's a good point. That was a really, really bad way for Denji to die. Because, yeah, Aki kind of knew that he was going to die soon anyway.
And the whole buildup was, Aki, you're going to die in a most horrible way. You're going to suffer. It's going to be the worst. No, for Aki, he just died. He was, it's fine. But for Denji, it was hell.
Aki didn't even realize he was dying. It was honestly kind of a great experience of death when you think about it. Like, he died unaware of what is happening.
I feel like if Denji knew that, he probably would have been a lot more okay with it. Because, like, honestly, yeah. I don't know that Aki had a better out at all.
He didn't. It was, I mean, he even wound up getting to see his dead family. Like,
well, I mean, he was going to die real soon, and I don't see that he had any other better ways of dying.
It's true. No, I think it was great.
The only problem is that, you know, he ended up killing a lot of other people in the process, and I don't think he would have liked that if he knew that, but...
Yeah.
But he didn't know.
But he didn't.
And it's best that he didn't. Aki died happy.
The end.
Hey, it wasn't his fault. He doesn't deserve to feel guilt for it.
No, he doesn't. It's Makima's fault. Just like everything's Makima's fault.
Makima did everything wrong.
Yes, she did. Yeah. I legitimately hate her. I know Denji loves her and can't really. I hate her. She is the worst.
I love how she just made everybody forget about AIDS.
That was pretty funny.
Or the Holocaust, like
World War II and Nazis. Yeah.
That was amazing. Just out of absolutely fucking nowhere, it was like, wait a minute, this stuff happened in the Chainsaw Man universe? What? This is like the real world.
The best part too is, like, in between all those names, like, Fujimoto put fake events too.
Yep, I noticed that. I noticed that, and I'm like, oh, so they got erased here too. Okay.
Well, I also love how Bill Clinton sacrifices 1 year of every American's life.
Well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what's 1 year?
Yeah, we won't notice.
It's fine. Yeah. I don't know what I'd do with that 1 year anyway. It's at the end of my life.
Yeah, I don't know. You gotta hope that that the year before your last year, you are very old. You know.
Well, here's the thing. From like that perspective, 1 year versus what we're all dead now.
I guess that's not the worst thing.
Lesser of two evils here. It's definitely. He even says, you know, I know this probably isn't going to do anything, but we're not going to go down without a fight.
Yeah,
I kind of respect that.
No, I mean, yeah, in the Chainsaw Man world, it makes sense, but it was hilarious.
It was like, oh well, you know, here's a whole bunch of like, what, couple million years?
Just an incredible like abstraction of the political process.
It's like taxes.
This series is like actually incredibly satirical. Like a lot of it is, as we mentioned, like about the economy. It's a lot about a lot of it is about like power and how the issues that people have with trusting power. I mean, Makima is literally the representation of control. That's literally what she is. I also think it's very interesting how, you know, you have like the control devil, which is like an idea, and everything is based off of fear. Like the thing that people fear enough will immediately create a more terrifying and stronger devil. So it's like, oh, Makima, like people are terrified of control.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, losing your own control is terrifying.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense.
Yeah, totally. I love like a part of Makima's plan too, like it was to build up Chainsaw Man as like a hero so the Chainsaw Devil would become gradually weakened.
Everybody loves you. You're not, no one's scared of you. Okay, you're weak now. Screw you.
It's really good. Which is also, that kind of also parallels like a lot of other like horror movie stuff, you know, like a lot of horror movies from like the 70s and 80s that were like so terrifying at the time, kind of like as the years went on, it's like literally nobody's afraid of them. There is like, I wore a Jason mask when I was like, in kindergarten, you know, like things just kind of stop being as scary or menacing as like these franchises go on. So it's kind of an interesting meta commentary, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one other thing I want to mention before maybe we move on to the next segment here is the final battle against Makima. Because, like, boy, that was just insane. Like, and I really love how, in the end, it's not this, like, climactic, like, confrontation with Makima that deals the final blow. It's, like, Makima not realizing who the real Denji was. And Denji being aware of how Makima viewed him.
That was a JoJo moment right there.
Did you guys...
Outthinking the bad guy.
Yeah. The crazy thing, though, did you guys go back and read through the series to find all the times that Makima smells Denji? Because they're there.
Oh, yeah, I did. After I read the chapter where, like, Denji killed her, I immediately went back and was skimming through chapter. I was like, wait, everything makes sense now.
Yeah.
I all just read all of it. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like
she doesn't just have a smell fetish.
it like part one ended very strongly, I think.
I'd agree.
Yeah, and speaking of which, since we know a part two's coming at some undetermined point in Jump Plus, what do we think's gonna happen? What are our expectations?
He's got to go rescue Power, 100%. That's like the hanging plot thread, and I will be upset if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I will too.
Yeah, we need more Power.
Yeah, well, there'll be in another Jump. It'll be more risky, but I don't know. It's still in the teenage magazines, isn't it?
I mean, Jump Plus is kind of weird because, like, even though the demographic is still shonen technically, it's aim towards like older people in that range, so more of like teenager to like a young adult, so you can get away with more in Jump Plus, it really depends like what Fujimoto wants, I guess, because like he got away with a lot in like Shonen Jump to begin with.
Fire Punch, Jesus.
Yeah, like I mean, I think like at like its highest it'll probably be like the levels of, say, like, Fire Punch, since that was also Jump Plus, but...
Cool.
Yeah, I think, like, the benefit I'm seeing from, really, the second part being in Jump Plus is the fact that, like, Fujimoto's probably gonna have more time to actually just work on each chapter. Like, even if they aren't longer, like, I think just having that extra time to really, I don't know, write out the story, make the, like, artwork as detailed as possible is just gonna make it, like, such a great experience.
Well, I also think he will have more flexibility because now he's making them a lot of money. Now he's showing that he's very successful. And you know, when that happens, I mean, you know, I'm sure the manga lifestyle is still, I know for a fact the manga lifestyle is still very brutal for even very successful manga authors. But at the same time, it's like, he definitely has a lot more sway if he wants to get something done. He believes in it because he's shown, hey, your ideas are actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot more leverage for sure.
Leverage is the word I was looking for. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, like, especially, yeah, he's an established author now. He's successful. Like, there's a lot less Shueisha can force him to do. Not to say, like, they would force him to do anything, but, like, if there's an idea he really wants to get out there and publish, like, I don't think anyone can really stop him at this point.
Yeah. And because, yeah, at this point for him, it is kind of like, if he did just decide to go somewhere else, which I don't think he would, and I don't think he should, he could.
He'd go the usual route, like most mangaka, and run to Kodansha.
Yeah.
Where anything goes.
Yeah.
I mean, they love Shaggy, not Shueisha, right?
Wait, what?
So didn't they leave Shaggy, or wait, I guess Shaman King guy technically counts too.
The creator of Shaman King left Shueisha for Kodansha, and the creator of Battle Angel Alita left Shueisha for Kodansha.
For James Cameron.
Freaking James Cameron.
That guy is an ultra
James Cameron.
That guy's an Ultraman stand, and I respect that.
Wait, James Cameron?
One of those movie directors, guys, was...
He would be. That makes sense.
Yeah, that doesn't makes a lot surprise of sense.
Yeah. I mean, he was doing that Alita movie for... He got those rights like a well over a decade before it got made.
Yeah. Now, he clearly is a huge fucking nerd, just like us.
Oh, yeah.
If only he had made that movie faster.
What, you mean so that people would actually remember or know what Alita Battle Angel is?
That too, and apparently, like, because he had those rights for so long, like, they couldn't actually make any, like, Alita anime, even if they wanted to.
Oh, that sucks. God. That actually...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why there hasn't been an Alita anime since those, like, early OVAs.
Mmm.
Yeah, and I feel like now Alita would be too risky because it's too old and also not as big a branding as Gundam or Yamato.
But Alita's so good.
I think he was counting on that movie being, like, way bigger than it was. Because if that were the case, then yeah, you could absolutely bring Alita Battle Angel back. But it wasn't as big as I think he was expecting.
There's an entire arc in Battle Angel Alita where it just becomes a sports manga. And it's, like, the best thing ever.
It's really good.
I definitely enjoyed the manga more than the movie.
Yeah, I mean, the manga is, like, the definitive version. Like, no doubt. But what were we talking about?
Oh, Chainsaw Man Part 2. Anyway,
yeah, that's the thing.
So Denji is absolutely going to go... Apparently Denji's going to go to school. I'm pretty sure that's how it ends. Like, it's like... which, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see Denji go to fucking school. I don't remember... I guess it would be high school, right? He's like 16 or 17. At the end of Chainsaw Man...
He was 16 throughout most of it, so still high school either way.
Yeah. You know what it is? At the end of Chainsaw Man, he just feels like in his early 20s, you know?
I can't do college because it won't make the monies.
Yeah.
It's really hard to kind of tell Denji's age just on appearance, because, like, he honestly could be in his mid-20s.
I mean, you know, that's an issue with every anime, at least. You know?
Well, yeah, it is.
I don't know anyone who would look at Jotaro and think, oh, that's a 14-year-old.
He looks youthful. He's probably doing all those usual high school things.
Jotaro? Hello, fellow high school kids. I, too, am a high school kid.
Hello, fellow children.
Imagine just going to, just like walking around the city and seeing a bunch of high school kids in uniforms walking past, and one of them is just like a foot taller than everybody else and fucking jacked, like, three feet across in terms of width.
And then,
like,
give him a teenager voice. Hi, I'm a teenager.
Perfectly normal.
Yeah, yeah. Just like looking down all the time, all cool.
God.
Yeah. but it's interesting because now Denji is a single parent now.
Oh yeah, he has a Nayuta.
Yeah. Is that a pun on something?
Nayuta?
Yeah. Is that like a... Like, you know, a lot of the time, Japanese, like, or anime names are, like, Japanese puns or references that I never get.
Far as I know, it's not supposed to be, like, a language reference, but it is a reference to, like, Fujimoto's old one-shot, like, Yogen no Nayuta.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah. I knew there was something to the name. I just couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah, that was, like, a one-shot he did, like, back in, like, 2015.
It's
like, it's kind of interesting that he brought back the character of Nayuta, like, in, like, a different context.
Yeah, very much.
See, I'm curious, like, what her role is gonna be. Because, like, if Denji's in high school, is, like, she just gonna, like, randomly tag along, like, with him to school?
Riding a dog.
Just makes me wish Power was still around, because can you imagine Power in a high school setting?
Yeah.
I don't think the world's ready for that.
No, but I am!
I agree! Denji and Power should both be in high school. Power would be so fucking funny in high school.
Power would run for class president.
I am the class president, but you didn't win. Yes, I did.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Power,
I was just thinking they would turn the high school into, like, some giant, like, Hunger Games or Battle Royale type storyline.
Oh god, everyone in the high school is just the devil.
Different factions of devils and
devil high school.
Man, I'm just thinking about that panel in the dumpster where power hugs Denji, and her face is like happy in a way that like we haven't seen her face be, her expression like be in a long time, and it's kind of one of my favorite panels.
Honestly, the relationship between the two of them after she was having like PTSD moments over the darkness double were some of the most touching in the entire manga.
Yes, very much. I really, really like the decision that Fujimoto made to make it so that they're really just not sexually into each other at all.
Yeah, it's very platonic.
It's much more of a, it's closer to almost like a sibling relationship.
Well, I mean, Makima straight up says it. I gave you an older brother and a bratty little sister.
Yeah.
And then I ripped them away.
Well, yeah, that was part of her evil plan, because she's evil, but, well, you know.
I would argue more that Power and Denji were Aki's kids more than they were his older brother.
Well, yes. That's probably more accurate, but yeah. I was using the manga itself to make the point.
Yeah.
Rip Daddy Aki.
Aww.
Rip Daddy Aki.
Now I'm just imagining Aki with a dad bod.
Oh my god.
He never got to that point. This poor guy.
Nope.
Fujimoto, why? Why would you give us dad bod Aki?
Maki took dad bod Aki from the world. Makima took bad dot. Oh my god! I can't talk. Makima took dad bod Aki from all of us.
And that is why she had to get eaten.
Yeah, that was her real crime.
That was the biggest crime. There were other crimes, but that was the largest crime.
Dad bod Aki is going to be the name of this episode.
As it should be. Good. That's a good name. Dad bod Aki, yeah.
Dad bod Aki.
But yeah, I think like the biggest thing is like we need more power from part two.
I say that every day of my life.
I mean, they made this big setup of, I'm giving you a contract. You've got to come find me. We'll probably be enemies, but you can bring me back. They're setting that whole thing up.
Yeah, no.
And then we'll play the Dragon Ball Z We Got Power song with images of power overlaid.
Dragon Ball.
Yeah, that's...
I'm such a weeb.
I host a manga podcast. It's cool. You're among weebs.
Yeah.
It's okay to be a weeb.
It's okay to be a weeb. It's okay to be a dumb weeb. Yeah.
Yeah. We're five, technically four dumb weebs. We need five.
This is why we just call the podcast Dumb Weebs Podcast. So that when there weren't five of us in one episode, it wouldn't be weird.
There are certain members of the Dumb Weebs Podcast that are harder to get at certain times.
One of them is too busy playing Neo.
Yes, that is one of them. The other one is too busy working, cooking food.
God, having a job?
That's, I know.
Who has that?
That's way less understandable than playing Neo. I get
I know, Neo, right?
You don't, do you really like your job that much?
God, making money, living.
See, this is why I relate to Denji.
Exactly.
Yeah, Denji taught me I can just kill devils for a living.
Heck yeah, well, sign me up.
But yeah, so from like a metaphorical standpoint, if I'm, because I think that Fujimoto is really thinking this. Chainsaw Man was the story of a little kid growing up to be like a teenager, basically. So part two so part two, I would say, is about Denji maturing even older into like into like an actual adult. Or at least
Dad
like,
bod Denji, we gotta see.
Yeah.
It.
I think we will get Dad bod Denji.
Yes, please.
Oh, that would be so good. Yeah, and I think you're on point with the coming of age type thing of like Chainsaw Man, because I think like even Fujimoto himself described Chainsaw Man as like wicked, like FLCL.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which, I mean, yeah, that's another coming of age type story. That's also very over the top.
Yeah,
I mean, and also a classic. So you know,
well, I mean, a lot of what Denji does in the first part is try and get his first kiss, the first boob he touches, the first like his first date, his first girlfriend, and he's finding out that, oh, this is all very different from how it was presented to me.
Yeah, like when he touches like Power's boobs and he's like, huh, I'm not too into this. It's kind of boring.
Yeah. It's not.
I mean, boobs are like not that fantastic once you touch them. Speaking of someone,
I disagree, but you know, you can have that. It's cool that you feel that way.
Well, you don't have boobs on your body now, do you?
Well, I do, but that's just because I'm a fat guy.
fat guy represent.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's like one of the really interesting things about Chainsaw Man in terms of the growing up thing. It's just kind of like one of my favorite parts is that it's like, wow, touching her boob didn't make my life 10 times better automatically. Like, I just kind of thought it would.
You mean to tell me boobs won't solve all our problems?
Not all of it. Not all of the problems.
Some of the problems, but not all of them.
And it was also just like a statement that, you know, it isn't about the boob. It's about whose boobs the boob belongs to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very deep.
That point is very well made.
Yeah, because he's definitely into it when Makima has him touch her boob.
Yeah, I mean, Makima seems like she's very good at the foreplay.
foreplay.
Yeah. Foreplay.
Ha ha! Dangly parts.
God. But do we have anything else to say about Chainsaw Man besides the boobs?
Who's Bomb Girl?
Arise?
She's pretty hot.
Yeah.
I really love her design when she's the devil.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like, it's with so the bomb fucking head. Cool. Yeah. And when she's like, hold on, guys. Is it going to be 2-on-1, guys? I'm like practically naked. Can we like...
Time chill out for a sec. Just a sec. Okay, time in.
It's such a good moment. Oh, man.
Yeah, she's like Torpedo Girl if, like, Torpedo Girl was
God.
In a serious manga.
Oh, my and, God. Oh
and God. Isn't she, like...
You just broke me, V-Lord.
Isn't she also, like, she's a secret Russian spy, too.
Yeah, she is.
So what series was Torpedo Girl again?
Bubble Bow.
Oh.
She's the one that yells, I'm a torpedo!
Yep.
Right.
Character that made me laugh way too much back in the day.
That's just Bobobo.
Well, yes, but that character in particular got me giggling like an idiot.
Oh, it's yeah. Like, oh, yeah. This. Yes, yes, you're right. I just looked up a picture. Yes, I remember this.
I'm a torpedo.
And the names, but I remember the designs.
Everyone remembers Soften, our lovable pink piece of poop.
Hell yes, Soften.
I like the little orange dude and the blue dude.
Don Patch and Jelly Jiggler, you have good taste.
Why did V-Lord laugh like that?
That was Jordan.
That was me.
I mean, I wouldn't really eat either of them. They look too squishy.
It's because Jelly Jiggler...
I don't think Jelly Jiggler would be pretty tasty.
I mean, he would also enjoy it, so if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, though technically, canonically, his jelly is expired, so you might get a few stomach aches. But look how he posed in that grocery store.
He looks like if Gumby was handsome Squidward.
Oh my god, he does.
I'm too old for that reference. I know who that is, but...
You know who Gumby is.
Oh, I know who Gumby is.
What about Squidward?
Barely.
What about handsome Squidward?
I have no idea what that is.
Laser, we need to make you watch SpongeBob now.
Like, SpongeBob came out after I graduated high school.
You need the SpongeBob lore.
SpongeBob has weirdly become the most important cultural touchstone for, like, my entire generation. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, so me neither.
Yeah, that's handsome Squidward.
So in terms of, like, Chainsaw Man characters I would eat, Denji would be one of them.
I see. What's your reasoning there?
Well, he's got the blonde hair, he's got the pointy teeth, I like that.
But what about the chainsaws?
The chainsaws are also very good.
How are you gonna eat the chainsaw?
Gonna be honest, Meowth, none of these really make me think he tastes good. It just kind of sounds like these are the reasons you think he's hot.
Like, are you gonna, like, take the chainsaw and, like, cut up Denji with his own chainsaw?
What world am I living in now?
Meowth's world.
Oh, no, that's just normal.
We were already stuck in Meowth's world.
That's why I
she
died.
She trapped us there years ago.
All I have to do is say the magic words and I'll die.
Nothing bad happens on a train?
Yes, those words. Those you said them, though, not me, so I'm okay so far.
I love how we've used like train names for like half of our Demon Slayer episodes lately.
You know, I would also eat the guy with the shark on his head, or at least it
looked
like
that guy was pretty cool. I like
Beam.
Yeah,
love Beam.
Oh yeah, Beam.
Beam is so good.
Beam was cool.
I love when like Denji rides Beam.
It's so good.
Yeah, fight, like the tornado
you
devil.
You can use your chainsaws to fly around like this. I can use you to use them as a thing to ride you. No, that's not what. You know what? Screw it. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
I have no idea how MAPPA's gonna animate that fight.
Oh my god.
In general, I mean, I was before I found out like just how popular it was. I was terrified of a CG Chainsaw Man. I was terrified. Like, I mean, CG is getting better, but still, I'm just really glad that MAPPA's like, okay, we are going to actually invest a lot of time and energy into this because people really like this.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks like there's going to be parts of it that are CG. Like, obviously, just off the PV, like, Denji's head was very much CG. Mm-hmm. But, like...
But that's honestly just modern anime.
Yeah, like, mechanical designs are
not
tough.
That bad, because it's, you know... Like you said, mechanical design, hard edges anyway.
Yeah, I mean, MAPPA's CG is usually not terrible either. I'm assuming it's going to be probably like Dorohedoro, where there are parts of it that are CG, but it's not entirely CG.
I think Dorohedoro is CG the best of like any anime I've ever seen. I think
Dorohedoro too? That's cool.
Oh yeah, Dorohedoro rules. I fucking love Dorohedoro.
Hey Lord, we gotta do a Dorohedoro next episode.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, we can. I'd probably do that on Saturday Night Shoggy, though, since that's Shoggy.
Oh, yeah, right. Forgot Shoggy exists.
What's Shoggy?
Shogakukan, the publisher that published Dorohedoro.
Oh, those are the publishers, I see. So is this one primarily about Shueisha?
No, this one's anything. But I have one podcast that's just literally all Shogakukan manga.
Oh, is there, like, a noticeable difference in tone between Shogakukan and like Shueisha?
They publish different types of series mainly. Like there's a lot of there's a broader range of titles that are published under Shogakukan compared to like Shueisha. They also have like the publication Big Comic, which is like considered like the prestige magazine for like seinen manga.
And also, the Shueisha stuff actually gets picked up here. While Shogakukan, you kind of have to pray for either an anime or something to blow up in sales.
That too. Shogakukan manga have a very unlucky history of getting licensed.
Oh, you mean like Dorohedoro?
I guess, but Dorohedoro is licensed.
Yeah, but like, how long was it out before that finally happened? And then it got like one Netflix series that, so far, knock on wood, I hope they make a second season, that was like all CG, which, yeah, it looks good, but that is still the cheap option.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, as far as Dorohedoro, the manga was licensed since, like, 2010. It's just the anime took forever to get greenlit.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, you know? Like, it was clearly way more of a pain in the ass than if it was running in Shonen Jump or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it, too, is, like, Dorohedoro is just, like, one of those series that'd be a nightmare to animate in the first place.
Absolutely. That is also a very good point.
Which is probably why a lot of it is CG.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's probably why it works.
Yeah, I think Dorohedoro was a thing that probably like wouldn't have gotten animated unless Netflix producers paid for it, because TV anime is kind of more, I don't know what the word is, but they don't really like...
I mean, Netflix only just has the international streaming rights. They weren't like the sole producer of it.
Oh.
I think part of it's like...
That makes sense.
The anime came out like... The anime got greenlit around when the manga ended. And, like, it also had good timing of, like, it was around when Kyu Hayashida's current series, Die Dark, was starting up.
Ah.
Which Die Dark is also really good, and people should read.
I'll check it out. I feel like Dorohedoro, in some ways, is kind of a precursor to Chainsaw Man, too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it has very similar vibes to it. I think that the action and dark fantasy elements of Dorohedoro you can kind of see in Chainsaw Man.
Yeah, there's like this very nihilistic surrealism that permeates throughout Dorohedoro that you do kind of see in Chainsaw Man. And it, like, the humor, at least, is also feels very similar, like the weird grossness of it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a good series.
Yeah.
I mean, so we've been talking for like an hour and a half, so I guess like this might be a good time to stop.
Natural awkward silence, I guess.
It was only 50% Chainsaw Man, 50% everything else.
That's a good ratio. Yeah,
that's pretty normal for this podcast, let's be real here.
I can't imagine the Dumb Weebs podcast is great at staying on topic.
No, we're not.
It depends.
I wouldn't want it any other way.
It depends. Some episodes we're actually really good about it. Some episodes we're not. Some episodes we yell at Rachel. It's fun.
Oh, so it's my fault then. It's because I was here.
No, I get it.
Laser, important question.
Yes.
Who do you hate more, Laser? Rachel or Makima?
I hate you.
You have to tell me who Rachel is.
Tower of God. Honestly, okay, Rachel, because she was better at hiding it from people, so it hit the character harder.
I guess, but Makima did way worse things.
This is true!
You know what, though? In like, fiction and stuff, I find that a lot of the times the actual specific, description of the crimes doesn't always impact how you actually feel towards a character, you know? Because, like, I mean, you know, you can just say, like, oh, this person killed 5 million people, but, like, you could have another panel where somebody kills a character you really love, and it's like, oh, that piece of shit, fuck him.
Let me put it to you this way, you're asking me to compare Hitler to Stalin, and I'm just like, eh.
Oh my god. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Please return my call stingy.
Wait, what, Allison?
And please return my call stingy.
Yes, please return Allison's calls, Denji.
Look, here's the thing. So one of the things that, like, last thing I want to say kind of about Chainsaw Man is that it's like Aki is the pet owner and Denji is his dog and Power is his cat. So there is now a vacancy for a cat in Chainsaw Man. And Meowth, you can fill that.
Sweet, I'm down.
This makes way too much sense.
It really kind of does.
Look. Why do you think Power has horns on her head that look like cat ears?
And why?
Makes sense.
And Denji literally has the heart of a dog inside of him.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we didn't talk about was the Chad called Fuchita.
The guy who did Ushio and Tora?
Different Fuchita.
Oh, yeah, fuck. Okay, it took me a second to remember. From Dorohedoro, right? Yeah.
Oh, no.
That guy.
Fair, we'll go with that. Never mind.
Love that guy. He's just carrying around like a piece of his friend's like dead flesh, and he's like, "I want to revive him." Oh no! And it's just completely played for laughs. I love it.
Yep.
But I think on that note, let's plug our stuff and get out of here. So, Jordan, thanks again for coming on and talking Chainsaw Man with us. Where can people find you online, though?
Well, first, I want to say thanks so much for having me. I had a really great time. I hope you guys did, too. You can find me on... you can find Shonen Flop on, like, any podcast app or everywhere. Find us on Twitter, at Shonen Flopcast. Join our Discord. We have a lot of fun there. Meowth's there. Yeah.
I am there.
See you, Space Cowboy.
Nice. Yeah, and... Laser, where can people find you?
Well, people can find me on Twitter at LaserKidPrime, where I constantly quote tweet random silly shit that's going on and talk about anime and randomly other things, but usually not as much these days. And you can find me on the Toonami Faithful podcast. And you can find me sometimes on the Demon Slayer podcast.
And Allison, where can people find you?
Well, I think I was in a Demon Slayer podcast episode with you a while back. Maybe I'm in there.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. I've been on the MHA podcast a few times.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I was on there once, too.
It's true. And that is where we bonded and became chill bros.
Exactly. Allison.
The MHA pod sounds like a legendary place. One day I'll be worthy enough to go on there.
Someday.
Someday I may as well. We shall see.
One day I'll actually bother to ask Kendra.
V-Lord, that's just normal. Just wanting, like, being on an podcast? It's just
like the one manga I actually keep up with weekly.
See, I haven't kept up with it for like a year and a half.
Oh, me neither.
So I have to catch up first.
Now, when I went on the MHA pod, I had absolutely no clue what the fuck was happening during the...
I'm like...
I was completely disconnected.
8 months behind on most of my manga, Boom Hero. Now, I'm up to date on that one.
I forget where else I've been. I've been watching a lot of 3D shit these days, so if you want to look at threads like that, follow me on Twitter.
What kind of 3D?
Well, I do Kamen Rider. I've been doing a couple Sentai series.
Oh, and some... man. I thought you meant 3D animation. Sorry.
Truly, Allison's watching X-Arm, the best anime.
We've been threatening to do a Dumb Weaves episode on that. I don't know if we're ever going to actually do it.
I don't want to suffer that much.
J-Mac does.
What's X-Arm?
It's a really bad CG anime that was... done by a team that had never done anime before.
Gotta look this up. Is it spelled the same way that it sounds? Oh, it's EX arm.
Yeah, EX dash arm. It's on Crunchyroll.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'll fucking watch it. Because I actually have another podcast called Mission Ignition, which is about the worst CG abomination ever created by anybody, called Vampires. So I have a soft spot for bad CG.
Yeah, it was so bad, like, they didn't even bother to, like, create different, like, facial models for the characters. So at one point, there's these two characters that kiss. But instead of actually showing the kiss, they just have, like, a bright light cover the entire screen.
I just looked up the picture on Google Images. Yeah, I see it. That's fucking great. Holy shit.
And that, just like that, anime cancer has gotten to another patient.
Yep.
Oh no.
Yeah,
you must verify it with chainsaws.
Yeah, I guess like over here they go into tokusatsu. So if you're into threads of those, check those out. Oh my god, a lot of sexy boys to no shows, and it's different because 3D boys. You know?
They're real.
Real.
Is that a problem for you?
No, I just, like, noticed, like, oh, these are, like, sexy boys and they're 3D. That's cool, man.
Wait, real people can be sexy?
I don't know about that. A little weird.
That's a
weird thing to say.
I think when they do the Kamen Rider shows and the Sentai shows, they use a lot of actors that are also models, so that could be why.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would just love an anime where somebody catches... like the main character watching porn, but the porn is of like real people, and they're like, that's disgusting.
That sounds like it would be like an Osomatsu-san joke.
Yeah, that kind of does sound like something that would take place in Osomatsu.
I mean, there was like the one where they catch like who? Ichimatsu jacking off?
Yes, that one. And also, like, when they're trying to get the robots to do stuff for them, they ask one of the robots to play porn for me. And I'm just like...
Oh, God.
We need to do an Osomatsu whip.
Oh, that's what that series is about?
Mr. Osomatsu is amazing, and you should watch it. It has a dub now.
Yeah, it's, like, about, like, six twins, just, or I guess sextuplets, that are just complete degenerates.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The dub is really good. I think season 1's finished and season 2 came out recently. I don't know
if
it'll come out, but season 3 is really good too.
There's also a movie.
No, there's going to be two more movies, but one of them's out already in the Japanese dub. But the series is in English at least.
Yeah, maybe we will do an Osomatsu episode at some point.
Yeah. If you want an Osomatsu app, let us know in the comments down below.
I think you guys should do an Osomatsu episode.
Sweet. Be Lord.
My personal...
See, that's the only feedback we needed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Alright, now it's gonna happen.
Hell yeah. You're welcome, everybody. I did it.
We did it.
But yeah, definitely follow all three of these folks. And just
not
look
you,
at
though.
Everything they do.
Well, I mean, assumingly they're already following V-Lord because it's V-Lord.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, V-Lord, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess first off, people can find me on Twitter, at VLordGTZ. Then I write various manga and light novel reviews for all-comic.com, as well as Toonami-related editorials for ToonamiFaithful.com. And then I also do a bunch of other podcasts, because I don't understand the concept of free time. The biggest of which is the Demon Slayer podcast on Twitter at DSlayer Podcast. Then there's my Shogakukan manga and anime focused podcast, Saturday Night Shogi, on Twitter at Sat Night Shogi. And then Oversoul Shaman King podcast.
Ooh, hey!
At Shaman King Pod.
I had a shitty Angel Fire website about Shaman King in the early 2000s.
So. Oh my god.
Oh, nice.
Angel Fire. I had a GeoCities one.
Fuck yeah. Oh, the internet just. I miss GeoCities. I do.
I miss 90s internet.
Yeah. It's not, again, it's not that it was, like, actually better, but, you know.
It was different.
It was different, you know?
God, you people are old.
Yes.
So old.
Back in my day, we had to find things with web rings and turnpikes.
What is this pensions crap? I'm here for Samurai X.
Oh my god.
But as far as the Dumb Weebs podcast is concerned, you can find that on Twitter at Dumb Weebs Pod and on Facebook at facebook.com/Dumb Weebs Pod. And yeah, just like check us out. And we're on basically every podcast platform out there. Apple Podcasts, Podbay, Spotify, you name it, we're there. So just go subscribe, listen, enjoy, and all that good stuff. That does it for this episode, so we will see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Don't get killed by a chainsaw.
Don't you get killed by a chainsaw.
Nothing bad ever happened on a chainsaw.
What if I want to get eaten by a chainsaw?
Well, then just become Machima.
I've been trying.